This is EcoShock Radio. All environment, all the time. Get more info on the web at ecoshock.org.
Life and death of a social pioneer, Wilhelm Reich. What is life like for a person always ahead of their time, always thinking more freely, living on the edge, like Wilhelm Reich? Was he a social prophet or a con man? Why did the American authorities hound this well-known author, social investigator, and scientist? Why did he die in prison? Reich was a pioneer at almost everything. Some say he was an early environmentalist as well. Now, it is time to depart. A life is waiting to expose itself. Wilhelm Reich was born in 1897 and lived until 1957. He was born the oldest son to a wealthy, almost feudal, Jewish landholder in the last days of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. Reich's relationship with his parents appear to have driven him to investigate the secrets of the mind. His mother committed suicide after the 12-year-old Reich told his patriarchal father of his mother's infidelity with the boy's tutor. His father committed a kind of suicide by disease only a few years later. These are scars that twist even a brilliant man. His next teacher was World War I. The young Austrian served on the Italian front. As Austria's 400-year empire crumbled, Reich studied medicine in Vienna. In the capital of Sigmund Freud, Reich picked up the fever for self-examination. He began to practice psychoanalysis while still a student. As the master delved into sex lives, Wilhelm Reich wrote papers on the importance of early sexuality, which were approved by Freud himself. Quick in his mind and his expression, Reich became an active leader in the psychoanalytic movement of the 1920s. After a few years, though, Reich became frustrated with the limited possibilities for social change, using the one-by-one approach of psychoanalysis. He felt he was always bandaging wounds and never stopping the war. As he enjoyed his own sex life, Reich had an enlightenment. He concluded the ability to experience a complete heterosexual orgasm was necessary to experience peace of mind. Otherwise, in a frustrated sexual state, the person built up a system of protective muscular and emotional tensions, which he dubbed body armor. 30 years ahead of his time, Wilhelm Reich championed a sexual revolution. He concluded that only a campaign of sexual liberation could fundamentally change society at all. To this end, he founded a team of physicians, social workers, and volunteers of both sexes. They traveled around Vienna in a van to pass out sexual education pamphlets, to provide or procure abortions for women who wanted them, to provide birth control, and to provide sexual counseling for teens. You might as well have lit a firecracker in the middle of old Europe. All these things were revolutionary and generally illegal in Catholic Vienna of the 1920s. Reich even advocated premarital or extramarital sex. In the late 1920s, Reich attempted to merge his commitment to social change through sexual liberation, which he called sexual politics or sexpol for short, to the larger ideas of Marxism. In 1930, he moved from Vienna to Berlin, where there was a large Marxist movement struggling with the far right of the National Socialist Party. In the same year, Reich was expelled from the Austrian Social Democratic Party and suspended from the Vienna Psychoanalytic Society. There was a rush to kick him out, even from the most liberal institutions in Austrian society. During his period in Berlin, Reich attracted as students various Americans who later became famous psychoanalysts. By 1933, the German Communist Party, wanting not to alienate the large Catholic vote, expelled Wilhelm Reich. But the communists were already doomed. The heavily Catholic South Germany, especially Bavaria, voted by the millions for the nemesis of all communists in Germany, Adolf Hitler. Most of the party was led away to be worked to death. the expulsion and pressure may have saved Reich's life. He emigrated to spend time in Scandinavia, mainly staying in Norway. His reputation for sexual freedom, helping women, and pushing sex education followed him. In 1934, the International Psychoanalytic Association likewise expelled Wilhelm Reich. In 1939, following disputes in Norway, Reich emigrated to America, the land of the free. There he established the Orgone Institute in New England. Reich continued to research and write, not only about psychoanalysis or even psychology, but on a broad range of physical sciences, from biology to nuclear physics. In the early 1950s, he was among the few voices criticizing atomic testing in the atmosphere. Reich said there was a serious environmental risk from airborne radiation. Only a few years later, they found the strontium-90 in milk supplies and bones of children in the Northern Hemisphere. Reich believed that life itself either was energy or used a special kind of energy. Delving into the sub-microscopic world, the aging scientist Rebel claimed he had isolated a new kind of particle. This was, he said, related to the life force, which he called orgone energy. Writing in the journal Biophysical Functionalism and Mechanistic Natural Science for 1942, Reich said, "We do not intend to wait until 50 or 100 years from now the existence of the orgone may finally be conceded. It is up to us, and not to any so-called authority, to see that the existence of the biological energy is recognized." In his last years, Reich built a special kind of box which would accumulate orgone. He offered a kind of vitality treatment and sold his orgone accumulators.
EcoShock Radio, broadcast and podcast. Find us on the web at ecoshock.org.
The Strange Case of Wilhelm Reich. Part 2. Reich, in the 1920s, focused on the orgasm as the height, as the bodily release of consciousness. His biographer, Myron Sharaf, captures this best in his 1983 book, Fury on Earth, a biography of Wilhelm Reich. Quote, "With Reich's description of orgastic potency, we enter the specific Reichian domain. The very silence of this world, a world of slow, frictional movement, of lapse of consciousness, of involuntary contractions, sets it apart from the usual analytic concern with verbalization and cognitive mastery of the emotive and irrational. Indeed, there is irony in the fact that Reich chooses as his criterion of mental health the individual's capacity to go beyond mental phenomenon, to have no thought, no consciousness even, but to surrender completely to the involuntary, to the sensations of pleasure." In this emphasis on the wordless, the ineffable, Reich revealed himself as closer to the truths of certain philosophers and poets than to his fellow psychoanalysts. Nietzsche had written, quote, "All the regulations of mankind are tuned to the end that the intense sensation of life is lost in continual distractions," end quote. Wittgenstein inserted that the most important matters of life were essentially not discussable. They were beyond words, end quote. If some social activists tune out when they hear about orgasms and sex freedom, their ears return to the subject of mass psychology. We know that advertising has managed to drive people into consumerism, using only the mind. Is there a mental doorway where social justice and environmentalism can enter? How do corporations and the state use mass psychology? Wilhelm Reich absolutely pioneered this field. While still an accepted prodigy of Sigmund Freud, he was among the first to transfer the ideas of individual analysis to society as a whole. He called it mass psychology. His seminal 1933 book, The Mass Psychology of Fascism, is important to read, especially now, as industrial fascism threatens to take over a naive public. In the late spring of 1927, Reich had just returned from a rust cure in Davos, Switzerland, likely for tuberculosis, which was sweeping Eastern Europe. TB killed his brother. On July 15, 1927, one of his patients informed him that the workers of Vienna were in the streets in protest. Reich went out to join them, as he reported in his later work, People in Trouble. The crowds burned the Vienna courthouse as a protest against injustice, following which the police fired into the crowd, which included Reich and his wife Annie. After 3 hours of shooting, there were over 1,000 wounded and 89 dead. It was the worst outbreak since the 1848 revolution, and Reich was there for the power and the slaughter. Reporting on these events, Reich used a new style of journalism that included his own reactions, a type of journalism that reappeared with the 1960s and 70s mass protests in Europe and the United States. His experience of social violence brought about a change in Reich's writing and research, moving away from the analysis of individuals to the causes of social conservatism and control. Reich became involved with the leftist Austrian Social Democrats and the Communists, trying to bring his solution of sexual liberation to both movements. Both eventually refused a platform of sexual politics. This was part of a wider movement stressing sexuality as a fundamental social problem. The World League for Sexual Reform, for example, was meeting in 1930. Wilhelm Reich was a keynote speaker. Tired of trying to cure people's mental unhappiness and neurosis in what he considered a sick society, Reich said society could improve mental health by social measures, just as it had improved physical health with sanitation. Society, Reich said, should ensure housing and food for its poorest members. Women needed safe access to abortion, and both men and women needed contraceptives and sex education to prevent unwanted pregnancies. To help people find less damaging lives, Reich proposed major changes to the laws governing marriage and divorce, the very kind of laws now in place and taken for granted. Reich thought all this could only come about under socialism. Still, he thought individual neurosis would continue to crop up, partly due to social maladaptation to the natural realities of sexuality. Following Freud, he thought character and character problems developed early, from toddlerhood to children aged up to six. He asked disquieting questions about children's sexual impulses. These exist everywhere, but are denied by everyone. Masturbation, for one example, was still punished in most households. Did the Depression of the 1930s castrate the movement for sexual reform? Was the Depression itself, the lack of confidence that allowed the stock to crash and industry to close, a form of sexual anxiety, a kind of social impotency? Economic man lost confidence in his power. In his later book, The Mass Psychology of Fascism, Reich explained his major theories. The repressed and denied sexual urges made people afraid and pliable to power. The social machinery to frustrate sex energy hardened in the muscles of the body, so that a person became stiff in character, in their emotions, and in their way of moving. Life energy was used up in forcing the unenforceable, leaving people tired and politically apathetic. Lies about love enabled lies about power and wealth. But people who could tap into their sexual energy would wake up and care about their society as well. Sharaf explains, quote, "As the women's movement in the United States was to emphasize many years later, it was necessary to begin with the personal, to politicize the personal. The political right, especially Nazism, as we shall see, was well aware of this. Its leaders constantly used sex propaganda, but of a negative kind. They played on people's fear of their own impulses and their fear of chaos. By calling upon the need for moralistic defenses, for law and order, for protection against the Bolshevik menace to the family." In this sense, Reich wrote, the Catholic Church was the most powerful sex political organization in the world. End quote. Do you think that this is all over? Remember, an American president was harassed because of his sex life, not his performance as president. Otherwise, competent executives tumble over their affairs. and the religious right is pushing morality while drawing guilty voters to the polls. In America, sexuality is attacked as a law and order issue in almost every major political campaign, and items such as homosexual marriage continue to dominate the headlines. The same fear of revolt against parental sexual taboos may also explain the slow development of environmental awareness. Sexual repression and fear may use up the consciousness required to evaluate the real situation on the planet. No wonder people gravitate toward the latest sex trial of a pop star, but find disintegrating climate too boring to bother with. Reich thought that the sexual repression was used by adults to create authority, to make an individual ready for domination. This process was carried on by the schools until we fear our inner selves, but trust the worst political rats. We can't revolt or question authority because of our awful inner fears, which may begin with early sexuality, says Reich. This same pattern of domination has been used down through the ages. In The Mass Psychology of Fascism, Reich said, quote, "Suppression of the natural sexuality in the child, particularly of its genital sexuality, makes the child apprehensive, shy, obedient, afraid of authority, good and adjusted in the authoritarian sense. It paralyzes the rebellious forces, because any rebellion is laden with anxiety. It produces, by inhibiting sexual curiosity and sexual thinking in the child, a general inhibition of thinking and critical faculties. In brief, the goal of sexual suppression is that of producing an individual who is adjusted to the authoritarian order and who will submit to it in spite of all misery and degradation." End quote. Sharaf concludes, "Today, from the efforts of such social analysts as Eric Fromm, Theodore Adorno, and Richard Hofstadter, we have become very familiar with the notion that to understand political movements, one must grasp the psychological structure of the people connected with them." But when Reich wrote The Mass Psychology of Fascism in 1933, almost 10 years before Fromm's Escape from Freedom, almost 20 years before The Authoritarian Personality, his ideas were exceedingly original. End quote. There are some truths about ourselves we refuse to know as a society. The mechanism of repressing truth may begin with our own denial of childhood sexuality. Once repression is learned, it can spread to exclude other truths, including our mass desire for death, our suicidal weapons of mass destruction, our killing of nature. We must adapt to the truth of our lifestyles and the global situation, because human lies always collapse sooner or later. We cannot continue to suppress obvious biological truths in nature. Later, Reich was to see such social neurosis as a form of emotional plague. The emotional plague opens us up to all sorts of madness. Needless bombing of cities, huge thefts from corporations and the public treasury. And we stand by, fascinated, shouting and applauding for the murder of Christ the Truth Teller, or Ali, the rightful heir.
EcoShock Radio, broadcast and podcast. Find us on the web at ecoshock.org.